Thank you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
I'm really, really excited. We're going to start a brand new series today. We're calling it Your Verse. You got to hear from my amazing wife on the screen, just share one of her verses that really stands out to her and speaks into her heart. And I hope that you have a verse, a life verse, or something that sort of is your mantra right now. But if not, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm going to help you with that. But I want to start here. I want to start with a verse that sort of, I'm going to give you the story of how the series became a series in our church. Is we do a Friday morning prayer service here at 7 a.m. from 7 to 8. And by the way, all of you are invited. Every week, you can always come. And somebody always kind of leads that service, and they'll give us, they'll share a devotion or some sort of motivation to just set our hearts for that time of prayer. And in this case, it happened to be our marriage and family pastor, Pastor Dan. And he was up front, and he had his Bible open, and he just like this, and he began to share, and he began to just read all these amazing verses just to prepare our hearts to pray. And one of the verses that he shared is going to become our theme verse for this series. But when he shared it, it's like it just illuminated inside of my heart. I got so excited that I just thought, okay, God, I'm hearing you. So I'm actually bringing a series to you, and it's all about the Bible, the whole thing about the Bible. And I'm going to start right here. It is found in Psalm 119, verse 45. And I want you to notice something that underneath the verse in your worship guide, I put some blank lines there. Do you notice that? I did that on purpose because I actually want to encourage you to write this verse down in those lines. And then I want to encourage I'm challenging our entire church. I would love all of us to just memorize this verse during our four-week series. Just hide this thing in your heart. Make this a verse that you memorize, that you can pull out from memory. But I'm going to explain to you where it came from and why God excited me about this. Because as Pastor Dan began to read this verse, he said, I will walk in. I want everybody to say this next word. I will walk in freedom. I'm going to walk in freedom. And I don't care how spiritual you are, we need freedom. Amen. I mean, no matter if I'm bound by something or if I've got something that just weighs me down, it's an overwhelming pressure or a burden on me, or if I'm even just running with God, and I mean, it's all just exciting things going on. How many of you know we can always grow? I mean, I'm preaching about 76% better than you're letting on right now. We all can grow, okay? I mean, amens, I don't need them to preach, but they help. I just want you to know that we all have an area that we can grow more. We need freedom from things. We need God to take us to the next step, take us to that next level. And the Bible's telling us, this is King David, and he's saying, man, I'm going to walk around in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. God, I've just committed myself to your word and to what you say. I have devoted myself completely. And I want to point out, by the way, that he's not referencing here the Ten Commandments alone. He's referencing the word of God. He's referencing what God says. And I know that some of you maybe have heard the term God's word, and then you hear the Bible and the word of God, right? You heard some of these terms. And I think oftentimes preachers and church people, we use, maybe you've heard it referenced, some Christianese. You ever heard that term before? In other words, we use verbiage that makes sense to us, but it doesn't make sense to anybody else. So I just want to demystify some things that the Bible is often in church circles referred to as the Word, or God's Word, or the Word of God. So if I use any of those terms today, I want you to know what I'm referencing. I am referencing the Bible. And what David is referencing here is he's saying that I find freedom in my life because I've devoted myself to doing what God says. I've devoted myself to doing it his way. I'm just committed that I'm going to do everything it is that he says, and that's where freedom is found. And no matter what you're facing, no matter what trials are in your life, no matter what battles you might be having, or what things you wish you could grow beyond, I'm here to tell you that freedom, it's found in devoting ourselves to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So let's move on. Let's dig in. I want to show you something really powerful. I've titled this little segment, The Living Word. And I want to give you the words of Jesus here in John 6, chapter 63, or verse 33. Chapter 6, ready, and verse 63. I got it. Come on, we can keep moving. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your support. This is what he said. This is what Jesus said. He said, the Spirit gives life, and the flesh counts for nothing. How many of you guys know that's a truth? is every single time I've let my flesh have control, I've always regretted that. 100% of the time. I've never done anything in and of my flesh that I look back on and said, well, that was a good idea. Every time, I'm always like, you idiot, right? Should have gave the Spirit control in that situation. And Jesus is saying that the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. And then he says this, the words, I just want you to notice, the words that I have spoken to you, they are Spirit and they are life. They come alive inside of you. It's the words that I speak that give life to who you are. And I want you to notice this capital S here in the word Spirit, because in the Greek, this is the word pneuma, pneuma. And this word, and I'm gonna kind of give some explanation to it, because the Greek word and the Greek language is real pictorial. In other words, it would take multiple English words to really describe the words in the Greek. So this word pneuma literally translates as like a breath, like Christ Jesus is breathing something out of himself, and it's the breath of life that he's giving. And in this, all in this descriptive word, he's saying, I'm not only gonna speak into your life, I'm not even gonna breathe life into you, but I'm gonna breathe into you the power to fulfill the words that I'm speaking into your life. And all of that is encompassed in this one word, this word pneuma. So what he's saying is that, man, these words are the very breath of God. These words are the very power of God, and they'll come alive in you. And when they do, you'll walk in life. Next verse that I want to show you is this from Hebrews. And I love this verse, chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says that the word of God, notice what it is, it's alive and active. So I want to declare something right out of the gate, that the Bible is not just a historical book. It's not just a book that's got cool stories in it. It's not just a book that, I know what some of you are thinking, it's a boring book, or it's a book I can't understand, right? That's not what it is. It's actually a document that lives and breathes, and it's active. There's something about the Word of God that goes beyond any other book you're ever going to hold in your hands. Notice it says that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It says that it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. In other words, it gets to the innermost part of who you are. It gets deep within who you are, this Word. And then the Bible says that it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And how many of you know that's what needs to shift? That's where the change takes place. And if you're a parent in the room, or you've ever been around this situation, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. When you say to one kid that, hey, you did something wrong, you need to apologize to the other kid, and they go, sorry, right? Like, there's the words that there's a problem with the heart. Right? And you can just hear it in the tone. Sorry about it. Whatever. They're only doing it because you told them to do it. And oftentimes, listen to me, oftentimes, guilty as charged, we will try our best to live out God's word, but we have the wrong heart and attitude. We're trying to live it out on what we can gain and what we can get rather than just obedience to what God's word is. Woo, I'm preaching good right now. I just want y'all to know, all right, that it's the truth. And what it's saying is that this book, the Bible, it's alive. It's a moving, living ingredient that gets deep within you. And when it does, it cuts apart everything about you on the inside. It starts to separate that flesh way of thinking versus that spirit way of thinking. All of a sudden, it begins to change and transform the heart, the thoughts, the attitudes. All of a sudden, I start to respond different because I am different, right? It's not that I'm trying to do something. It's that it's becoming a part of who I am. And the Word of God, this living thing, when it gets deep within us, it has the power to change us. And when we receive that kind of transforming power deep within us, we find freedom. We find freedom. So I want to break it down to you very practically. I love to preach practically because I think oftentimes, preachers say a lot of stuff that you can be like, woo, amen. But then they don't really tell you, okay, how does this work in your everyday life? Well, I'm going to do my best to do that for you today, okay? Because I want you to be able to take what I'm saying and use it tomorrow morning. So I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. And I'm reading this from the Message paraphrase. And by the way, next Sunday morning, I don't think you want to miss it. Because some of you have often wondered, like, what is that all about, right? You ever thought that? You don't have to raise your hand. But if you've ever thought, like, man, sometimes it says, like, MSG. Sometimes it says NLT, NIV, you know, or whatever. Like, what is that all about? I'm going to explain to you why that is. I'm going to just break it down. I'm actually going to explain to you how the Bible's laid out, what the Old Testament looks like, what the New Testament looks like, why is Jesus' story repeated four times in a row. I'm just going to talk about all that stuff. I'm going to explain to you why there's so many different translations and all that type of stuff is next week. Does that sound fair? So I hope that I bait you enough to say, yeah, I want an education. Teach me, Pastor. But I like the words found in the Message version of the Bible. And it says this, that these words that I speak to you, they're not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. Notice what they are. They are foundational words. And here's the big key that I want you to grab. They're words you can build your life on. It's not just a book. It's not just the Bible. It's not just something, hey, try this little nugget, try this chapter and this verse, and it's a little homeowner improvement to your standard of living. No. It's words that you can actually build your whole life on. And then it says if you work these into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on the solid rock. And the rain poured down, and the river flooded, and the tornado hit. But notice this. But nothing moved that house. Can you highlight that for me, bro? I got the best team in the world, y'all. Watch this. Nothing moved that house. The Bible says it was fixed on the rock. Church on the... Yeah, that's right. Amen, everybody, right? Right? But what I want you to recognize is that he said nothing moved that house. And listen, I don't know about you, but I know that in my life, there are often times where in the scenario of my life, the rain pours down. I know that there are some times where the wind blows or that some disaster comes into my circumstance, like a tornado or hurricane or something that I never saw coming. And there's a part of me that just says like, well, God, I don't understand this. And man, I had everything was going so well. And then all of a sudden, this thing just out of nowhere happens. And I can't afford to fix the car. Or I didn't expect that person to die. Or I didn't think I would ever lose my job. Or whatever the case may be, that news from that doctor that came to me, like I wasn't expecting that tornado. But there's something about the Word of God that when we work it into our lives, that nothing moves that house. There's something about it that it's built on a stable foundation to where no matter what happens when the rain comes, it's raining now, right now, right? And no, when the rain in my life comes, when the tornado hits, when the wind blows, nothing's going to move me because I have built the foundation of my life on God's word. So I want you to write some things down with me. Number one, is that I think for us to walk in freedom, number one, that I must accept the Bible's authority. I have to accept it as the authority. And I know that authority isn't a popular church word, but it's the right word. Because the Bible is the authority in the life of the believer. I expected somebody to back me up right there. The Word of God is the authority in the life of the believer. And I'm going to tell you what's wrong in our culture. I'm going to tell you what's wrong in our society. I'm going to tell you what's wrong in the Western world and the way a lot of church is being done these days is that we have forsaken the authority of God's Word in our lives. Organizations that hold Christian titles are starting to forsake the truths of God's word. And what we're starting to do is we're starting to excuse it away, saying, well, culture's changing and life is changing and people are changing. And that's kind of how they did it then. But it's just a different world that we live in today. And here's what I want to declare right from the platform, boldly from my mouth this morning, that the Bible is truth and we should never adjust it to our living. We should always adjust us to it. Amen. Amen. I cannot accept this as God's authority over my life and have freedom. I can choose not to apply it. I can choose not to accept it, but I can't have that and have freedom. If I want freedom, I have to accept it as the authority in my life. So in other words, no matter what it says, I've got to change to fit it. Because the Bible says that heaven and earth will fade away, but his word remains forever. So I can't afford not to let this book, I mean, how could I discredit this book when it lives and breathes and moves? It's everything to the life of the believer. It is everything. So for us, we've got to make sure that we're doing our part by accepting the Bible's authority. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, yeah, but Pastor, I don't understand it. Once I understand it, then I can accept it. Here's my argument to that. There's a lot of things that I don't understand, and I still trust them, okay? I don't understand how digestion works, but I eat every day. You know what I'm saying? Like multiple times a day. And I don't understand what's really going on the, but I don't need to. I just know that I get nourished when I eat, right? And so when it comes to the Bible, I think that it is naive of me to have the audacity to think that I need to understand it all before I can apply it, because I know the exceeding limitations of my intellect, and I'm super glad that I can't fit the God I serve into the box of my limited mindset. I'm super glad. So I like the fact that I don't completely comprehend it. I like the fact that I can read the same verse for year after year after year, and all of a sudden something new comes alive in it and something different. It's because it lives, because it breathes, because it cuts to the inside of who I am. I'm not going to trust my intellect or my mindset or my way of thinking. I'm going to trust the Word of God as the absolute truth and the complete authority in my life. And because of that, I will walk in freedom. It's the promise that His Word has given. Amen. Let's look at another verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's really complimenting the church of Thessalonica. And he's saying, we also thank God continually because, notice this, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as human word, not as words of man. You just accepted it. Notice, you accepted it as it actually is. It's the word of God. I like to say it this way, the church in Thessalonica, they were just drinking all the Kool-Aid, taking it in. Like, yeah, man, we accept it and we receive it. I'm not accepting this as the Apostle Paul saying it. I'm accepting this as God Himself saying it. So some of you don't need to, you don't need to trust and accept what I say. You need to trust and accept what the Word of God says. Amen. Amen. And then he talks about how it goes to work in you. It just starts to work and shift and change. Hey, number one, I've got to accept the Bible's authority. Number two, write this down with me, is that I must assimilate the Bible's truths. Assimilate. And I know that's a word that's not familiar to everybody. I'll define that for you a little bit. But to assimilate means to get it into every part of your life. Like to get it everywhere. So in other words, the Bible can't be the Sunday thing. The Bible has to be the everyday thing. So I need the Word of God on the inside of me when it comes to my relationship with my wife and my children and at the workplace and on the golf course and when I'm fishing and when I'm in the woods chasing white-tailed buck deer. Come on, somebody. Amen. Right? I need to have it assimilated into those areas of my life. It needs to become a part of who I am everywhere that I go. In other words, I can't compartmentalize this thing anymore. It needs to go everywhere throughout the entire part of who I am. Amen. I need to get it assimilated. So I'm going to give you some real, real practical ways, okay? Love for you to write these down. The first one is this, by listening to God's word, listening to it, listening to preaching and listening to the teaching of God's word, getting it inside of me, listening to it be explained in ways that are understandable and practical and truthful. I need to listen to the word. And the Bible tells us, it says that faith comes by hearing, right? Here it comes, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Man, if my faith is going to grow, if my understanding of God is going to grow, if my trust in Him is going to grow, that's where the faith comes from. It's from hearing the Word of God. And I need to understand it. I need to get it applied, man. I need to be listening. And by the way, I realize that I'm preaching to the choir because all of you are here, all right? But what I'm saying is make this a value. Make this a value. I think, okay, and I'm just going to give you my opinion here. I think that church should be a value in the life of a Christian. Like coming to church. It was Jesus' custom to be in the synagogue every single week. And I think it should be a value in the life of the believer. And I'm going to tell you why. Not so that we can come in here and say that we attended, but so that we can come in here and we can build relationships. This is the place where we corporately come to lift His name together. This is the place where we build relationships, strength, understanding. This is where we come and, iron sharpening iron. We get to know each other and we share our faults together and start loving on each other. This is the place where it becomes relational. And then, in my opinion, this is the place we deploy from. Like, it's time to go. It can't stay inside the building because the church isn't a building. The church is a people. So don't just come to church. Become the church. Like, become it, man. Like, take it away from here. Man, my faith needs to grow by hearing it. And I would encourage you, like, and I'm not just talking about Sunday mornings. I like, hear it everywhere. Find some great preachers and listen to what they're teaching. And, man, get on YouTube and watch some stuff or find a great website or podcast or whatever. And let the Word of God become a part of your life, man. Listen to it explained and deepened so that you can get it worked into every area of your life. One more verse I wanted to show you is Luke 8:18. Therefore, I want you to notice this. Consider carefully how you listen. Okay, in other words, not just every presentation of the Bible is good. Okay, and I'm encouraged, as your pastor, I care enough about you to say, just be careful. And here's the little guide that I would love to give you is this. Be careful for preachers that preach their opinions, not God's word. All right. If the preacher stands unapologetically on the truth and power of God's word and declares it, I think you can draw from that well. If it's all about what they think and their opinions, I think you should just be careful. And I'm not saying throw them out. I'm just saying be careful. Like, chew up the meat and spit up the bones, which is why I do my best when I'm preaching. If I have an opinion, I like to say that. Like, I'm going to give you my opinion so that you can either take it or you can throw it away. It doesn't matter to me. But when it comes to the Bible, and I'm not like, I don't like to be the hard preacher. I don't like to be the guy up there pointing down there because I feel like I'm just part of the team, you know? And God's still working in my heart, and I've got so much to grow in, and there's so much that God needs to do inside of my life. But when I am preaching and it comes to God's word, I want to be unapologetic about it. Because it doesn't matter what I think. It just matters what he says. Amen. Yeah. This is my heart that, man, I don't want to apologize about the truth of God's word, because sometimes the truth of God's word hurts me too. But you know what? I need it because I want freedom. I want to walk in that freedom. I want to walk in that depth of understanding and relationship with God. So, hey, if I'm going to assimilate God's word, I need to listen to it. Number two, write this down with me. I need to read it. I need to read God's word. I actually need to take the time and read the Bible. Read the Bible. Let's look at what the Bible says about that. Matthew 4:4. This is Jesus. He's been in the wilderness fasting, the Bible says, for 40 days. And then the Bible says that afterward he was hungry, which I find funny. Like, I feel like, well, duh. I mean, the dude didn't eat for 40 days. Like, hello, we know he's hungry. When I don't eat for 3 hours, I'm about to chew off my arms. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. I understand. But the Bible says that he's hungry, and then Satan comes with a temptation and says, well, hey, if you're all-powerful, if you're God, if you can do anything, why don't you turn those stones into bread? And if you've ever fasted at about hour 3, bread sounds awesome, right? Am I right? You're just like, yeah. After 40 days, Jesus is being tempted to make himself something to eat. Now, I just want you to notice what he says. He says, oh yeah, but it's written. In other words, the Bible says. In other words, he said, I you know what, Satan, I can't steer my life by how I'm feeling right now. I've got to steer my life by what the word of God says, because freedom is found in his word. And he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man, that is how I have to live my life. Church, that's how we have to live our lives, is by every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I want to give you some super practical things that are not in your notes, but I want to make an encouragement to you. Number one, I'm going to make you a little list. You can write these down if you want to. I want to encourage you to get a paper Bible. Yeah. One of these right here. It's a book, everybody. And I want to encourage you to get one of these, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why, because I am not against technology at all. I embrace the newest technologies. I love them. I use them. I mean, Exhibit A, this screen beside me, I love it so dearly, y'all. I like to hug it sometimes. I love technology, so I'm not going to stand up here and act like technology's bad, but what I am going to say is that I think there's something about having an actual Bible, and I'm going to tell you why. Because of what studies show us is that there's something about engaging more of your senses that create better retention of the Bible. There's something about smelling it and touching it and feeling it and turning through it that studies say, science tells us, that helps us to retain God's word better. There's actually proof that as we make progress and feeling the difference in the progress as we move through, there's something rewarding to us that stimulates us to get more. And then another reason I want to encourage you to actually get a Bible is because there's, like, the Bible on your phone is everybody's Bible, but this one is your Bible. You know what I'm talking about? Like, this is like, this one's mine. This is the one where maybe you say it like this, like, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but I know where it is in this Bible. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just familiar with it. It's on the top of the page at the left-hand side there, right? You know what I'm talking about? There's highlights in there, and there's notes, and there's things I've circled and I've underlined or whatever it is, because this is my Bible. And I just want to encourage you to get one. And by the way, I'm holding this one on purpose because if you don't have a Bible, I want to give you one. And it looks just like this one. I just grabbed one of the ones off the table is all I did and held it up here for my illustration. But I would love for you, some of you are in this room and you're saying, well, man, I don't have a Bible. Here's what I want to say. If you can get a Bible, I think you should. I think you should go to a store. I think you should shop for it, thumb through it. I think you should feel it and decide which one you would like best and all that kind of stuff. And I think, by the way, if you buy it, that monetary investment buys you into the value of it just a little bit more. I do. However, I also understand that some people, it's like, bro, I would love to do that. I can't. I mean, I'm struggling to even make ends meet for my family right now. I can't do it. That is why these are there. Take it. Like, we paid for it. You can have it. I want you to get God's word in your life, so I want you to take it. Or maybe you're on the other side and you're like, well, here's the truth about me, Pastor Josh. I'll actually never go to the store and do what you recommended. If that's you, then take one, okay? I'd rather you walk out of here with one and have it that you can use than to leave here and never follow through on getting a Bible. So that's my encouragement to you. They're in the lobby. Please grab them if you need it. And then the second practical step I want to give you is this, like make time to read it. If you wait for the time, you don't have it. If you set a time, you'll do it. A pastor that I love to listen to, he often says this. He'll say, dignify the time. Set an appointment and keep it. And make that appointment with God and set that time to be with God, to get in to his word. I'm just saying, like, make it a value. Carve out the time to say, this is the time that I'm going to get into God's word because I need it in my life. Another one is this, I like to say this, have a plan. Just have a plan, and I'm going to help you with that, all right? Because I know that for many, many people, you're like, dude, that's a big book. I don't know where to start. I don't even understand, like, what do I do? What do I do? So I want to help you with that because I know that some of us, you ever done this? You ever done the thing where you're just trusting God? You know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't really know where to read, so like, Come on, right? Am I the only one? You ever done that? Listen, I did that one time, right? I did that one time, and I just want to show you what happened. I was thumbing through the Bible, and I did that, and the first scripture I found was 2 Samuel 10:4. So Hanan seized David's ambassadors and shaved half of each man's beard, cut off their robes at the buttocks, and then sent them back to David in shame. And I'm like, well, that can't be right. That can't be right. So I grabbed my Bible. I did it again. I just said, okay, fine. I'll just moving on. And then this is what I read. Went to the book of Luke, and Jesus told them, go and do likewise. Here's my point. I'm sure that didn't really happen. I made all that up. I Google searched them for y'all. So... Here's my point, that I have no doubt that there are moments where maybe something like that could be divine appointment and God could give you exactly what you need. All I'm saying is that's probably not the best long-term strategy, okay? Probably not going to work out for you. You might wind up with something crazy like this. So what I want to do is I want to point to a resource for you that I think is one of the greatest resources the church has ever been given in the history of all mankind, and it's this. This is called the YouVersion Bible app. YOU version, all right? This right here, this is what the icon looks like. So if you're searching, this is what I want you to get. And in fact, I would encourage you to get your phone out right now. Use our Wi-Fi and start downloading this if you don't have it, because this app on your phone or device or whatever will help you with a plan. It's an amazing resource. Translations, you can read it in different translations and all different things. You can search for very specific types of studies. Maybe you want to do a study that, hey, I'm a brand new Christian. I don't even know how to start. You can search that. They'll give you a plethora of plans that you can follow. You might say, man, I just need to be a better parent. Man, you can find studies like that, and it will give you a plan. I'm using this right now. with several people within the church, and we're kind of networked together. Some of my guys right here are in the room, that each day we're on a plan that everybody can see. So every day we're reading the same devotional, we're reading the same scriptures, and then at the end we can comment on it together. And I love it. I love it because what will happen is I'll go through my reading, my devotional, and get to the comment section, and then all of a sudden Zach will say something on there that I'm like, I didn't see it like that. What a great perspective. And then all of a sudden, my eyes have been opened to the scripture in a different way than even God showed me. Sometimes there are moments where I'm like, whoa, and I just got to tell you, man, let me tell you what God showed me today. And there's just something about it where all of a sudden, now the word begins to come more alive to me. And I'm telling you need a plan. I like having a plan. I mean, as you can imagine, I lead a lot of stuff. So for me, it's really nice sometimes to just be led. So I like to, I'll open up my app, do my devotion, and then I prefer to get my Bible and then read it there. So this thing's guiding me, and then I'm just trying to do the actual reading in my paper Bible. And there's all kinds of strategies. A couple of years in a row, I did what's called the one-year Bible on the Bible app. And what it does is if you'll follow 365 days of the plan, you'll read the entire Bible cover to cover in 1 year. And I did that a couple of years in a row. I'm doing multiple studies right now with different guys. That's really my plan and my devotion. And then my strategy right now is that I'm just going through the Bible and I'm just trying to find verses I want to memorize. Like I want God's word hidden in my heart. So my strategy right now is scripture memorization. I'm just trying to find as many as I can. And I want to know chapter, verse, and verbiage. In fact, me and my son, he's 14. We've been doing this together and we did a little study together. We put a bunch of verses on index cards together and then we'll quiz each other. And I want you to know there's one that I'm struggling with so bad, right? It's so small and I can't seem to remember it. And he'll quiz me. He'll say, what's that one say? And I'll be like, I don't know, start it. Maybe I can finish it, right? But we'll quiz each other. Hey, what's this one say? And I stood him in front of his mom before school the other morning. And I said, babe, watch this. And I said, Carter, I said, hey, 1 John 1:9, boom, he hit it. James 5:16, boom. Jeremiah 17:9, boom. He just spitting them out. Because listen, we need it in our hearts. We need it in our lives. It needs to be a part. It needs to be assimilated to every single part of our lives. This is a phenomenal resource that'll give you a plan. It'll give you a plan. All right, moving on. Final thing I want to give you just practically is this. I want to encourage you, don't just read the Bible. Let it read you. Let it speak to you. I would encourage you, before you even open it, to just pray and say, God, I pray whatever it is that you have for me today, that you would allow me to see it. I pray that this word would take root in my heart and help me to grow and to become more like you. Let the word speak to you. Let the Spirit of God shift your heart and change you and help you to say, oof, I probably need to change that in my life, or I probably need to work on that a little bit. Man, let the word of God read you. And then one last tip. Can I give you one last tip? There are going to be those days, right, where you're like, well, I don't know. Like nothing was transforming. Nothing's just popped up. I don't really know. That's okay. Can I tell you? That's okay. If you ask me, hey, Josh, what'd you have for lunch 2 Tuesdays ago? I'm going to be like, I have no idea. But here's what I do know. I did eat something and it did nourish me and it carried me to today. The Bible, take it like a meal. That not every meal is going to be that amazing steak dinner. You know what I'm saying? That you're never going to forget, oh my gosh, you should have seen those mashed potatoes, best of it. Like not every day in the Bible is going to feel like that, but every day in the Bible nourishes you for growth. Amen. Amen. All right, last one. I'm going to give you your last kind of practical point for assimilation, and it's this one. And we're going to land the plane right here by exploring God's word. Explore it. Dig into it a little bit. Look what the Bible says in Joshua 1:8. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It says, study this book. Study it. And some of you are like, I don't even read it, man. Now you're asking me to study it. Listen. Hang in there. Come every week of this series because I'm going to do everything I can to help you with this part. I'm going to try to help you to learn to just study the word a little bit and make it where it's not just a mundane read, but it's actually a process that you're in. But the Bible says, study this book of instruction continually. There's that daily thing, right? Just, man, make it a part of your life. And then notice this, meditate. Just meditate on it. Let it saturate. Man, let it get inside of you. Ponder it. Don't just read it just to check it off, but actually say, God, what is it you would say? What is it that speaks to me? Meditate on it. day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Notice this. Here's a promise. You ready? Only then will you be prosperous and successful. Yeah. Only then. When I'm letting the word of God be a part of my continual diet, I'm studying it, man. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. And number three, as we close right here, is that I must apply the Bible's principles. I've got to accept it. I've got to assimilate it. Man, I got to get it all into every area of my life. And I need to apply it. It's got to become something that when I hear it, I allow it to challenge me so that I can engage on how to grow in it. It's got to be applied to my life. Watch what the book of James says right here. It says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourself. Like, it's deceptive. If you listen to it all the time and then you go out there in life and you've not applied it, and then you expect when the wind comes and the rain's pouring down and the tornado blows and you're frustrated at God, like, where you at, bro? And he's like, well, you got to apply it, because freedom's found when it's deep within me. Freedom is found when it's deep inside of my heart. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. That's one of the ones I've been working on right there. I want God's word hidden deep within my heart so that I might not sin against him. And then I want to encourage you, I'm closing right here. And I want to encourage you to make church a value. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we have to have each other to make it spiritually. We have to. God has designed us to be relational, and we cannot do it alone. In fact, the Bible says that when we get alone, we seek our own desire. That it's it becomes all about me and mine and what I can get. But there's something about being relational, and that's why I want to encourage you, man, get into a life group. Get into a little study with some people. Get into those little groups, because there's something about it. There's something about it that starts to grow us up into what God's... This is what I like to say. That when I get into a relationship with a family, like this one right here, whether it be a Sunday morning church service, or whether it's on the team that I serve on, or whether it's in my life group during the week, there's something about that relationship that becomes valuable when you realize you're not the only one. When you go, oh my gosh, wait a minute. You mean that you struggle with your temper sometimes? You know how much better I feel? Because I thought I was the only dude getting mad at people at 312 and US 1. You know what I'm saying? But I'm so glad to hear. You know what I mean? Or when that guy that you just thought was so uber spiritual and you could never measure up to his level of spirituality, and all of a sudden you find out that he has a struggle that you struggle with, and then you go, that makes me feel so much better. Man, thank you so much. And then all of a sudden there's this relationship that starts to take place where maybe you pull that person aside and say, hey, listen, I struggle with what you struggle with. I'm so glad you were willing to share that. Would you pray for me? I'll pray for you. Maybe we can hold each other accountable. Maybe we can talk about this. Maybe together we can grow. And then this is how God grows us up. I'm going to finish right here. 1 John 1:9. Maybe you should write this down. Margin of your notes. 1 John 1:9. This is what it says. Because how many of you know we all mess up? How many of you know we all have issues, right? You with me? If you're here this morning and you don't think you have issues, that's your issue. All right? We all have issues. And we all mess it up. And I'm gonna tell you my personal strategy. You ready? When I blow it and that shame thing happens, and the enemy comes in and he's like, again? You did it again, or maybe you didn't do it again. And then all of a sudden I start feeling ashamed. Here's what I do. I use the power of God's word. I declare 1 John 1:9, and I just say, you know what? I go to the Lord and I say, God, your word says that if I will confess my sins before you, that you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And God, right now I feel totally ashamed of myself. And I know the enemy is trying to wear me out and make me feel guilty. And I don't feel like I deserve this, but I know what your word says. And your word says that if I confess this sin, that you're faithful, that you are just, that you will forgive me, and you'll cleanse me of my unrighteousness. So, Father, because of your word, I confess, and then I say it. And his word gives me freedom. Otherwise, the enemy would box me into a pen of shame that I might not ever find freedom from. I just stand on the truth of God's word. And then if I have an issue that's reoccurring, it just keeps coming up, keeps coming. I can't seem to get the victory. James 5:16. Maybe you write that one down in the margin. This is my strategy. James 5:16. The Bible says that if we will confess our sins, listen to this, one to another, we may be healed. If we'll confess and pray, the Bible says we'll be healed. Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So here's my strategy. If I've got a reoccurring issue I can't seem to win, then I'll go to my brothers and I'll say, hey, I need some accountability. I need you to pray for me. I need to be honest about something that I'm embarrassed to say, but it's just a battle that I'm in. And I just, God's word declares that I'll find freedom if I'll talk to you about it. Would you pray for me? Would you hold me accountable? Because here's the deal. Listen, only forgiveness can come from God. 1 John 1:9, healing comes from the relationship we have with one another. James 5:16. That's my strategy. That's what I'll do. But you know what? I'm finding that freedom because the truth of God's word. And I'm just committed. God, I want to walk in freedom because I'm devoted to your commandments. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all across the auditorium. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you've never made a decision for Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're like, all this sounds great, Pastor, but I've never even decided to surrender my heart to Jesus. I've never given him complete control of my life. I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like me, man. There have been times where I've just wandered off course. I've just gotten off and just maybe you didn't intend to end up there, but you did. Okay, all right. Here's what I love about the Father. He always welcomes us back. Gosh, I love that about him. So what I want to do is say a prayer. I just want to say a prayer. And no matter what the scenario of your life is, I want you to say this prayer and I want you to speak it into that area of your life because all of us need to surrender more to the Father. Amen. That's true. So I want every voice in the building to say this prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. I'm committed to you. I want to walk in freedom because I'm committed to your commandments. Change me, forgive me, cleanse me, make me new. Help me to find freedom in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Would you stand, church, to your feet? And I always like to ask, would you just put your hands together and give God praise?
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.